as are already 8 people in the call, let me suggest to start our first monthly call of the new year. As first of all, to all those I haven't confirmed it, even with few weeks delay, wish you all the best for this 2014, and I hope it will be an exciting year for Giuralo. So welcome at this first monthly call of the year, and I will now give the floor to Julia for the roll call.
Thank you, Wolf. On today's call, we have Wolf Ludwig, Olivier Crépin-Leblon, Oksana Prikotko, Julia Morenet, Narin Kachatjian, Christopher Wilkinson, Sionush Vardanyan, Sandra Hofreister, Sébastien Bachelet, Jordi Iparaguirre, and Iro Lansipour. We have apologies from Roberto Gaetano and Greta Jeski, and from staff we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, and myself, Julia Charvelin. May I please remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Wolf.
Okay, thanks a lot, Julia, for the roll call. I think I'm very pleased that we have a rather impressive number of members of participants at this call. And let me go over to our next agenda item, what is, as usual, review of the action items from the December call. And this is posted in the Adobe Connect presentation. And as you can all see, there was a call for additional members to be part of the Finance and Budget Subcommittee and for the crop review team, and this call had been accomplished before the seasonal break, when staff sent out a call, and we could find, to my memory, Oksana for the crop review team, which is now full from our side, and for the Finance and Budget Subcommittee, to my memory, there is Roberto, there is Julia, and myself in, so we have assured our regional representation in these committees. If there are no questions regarding the action items from December, let me continue with our next agenda item, what is point 3, and as usual, briefing on current ELEC consultations and initiatives. You can find a long and impressive list of issues under this agenda item, and I give the floor to Olivier, please.
Thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblon for the transcript record. And as you can see, the ALAC has been very busy with drafting of quite a few statements recently that it has sent to the board and to public comment periods. So I invite you all to continue your good work and continue bringing your input into the ICANN purposes. There are 3 statements at the moment currently being developed, reviewed, or voted on by the ALAC. The first one is the ICANN draft vision, mission, and focus areas for a 5-year strategic plan. And the Finance and Budget Subcommittee of the At-Large Advisory Committee has been involved with developing a statement. Tijani Benjama was the pen holder, and the ALAC is currently voting on this. I invite you, from the agenda, you can see a link to it. So I invite you to have a brief read for it. It's a short statement, but it just brings forward a few points that might have been missed in the 5-year strategic plan. Overall, The ALAC mentioned that they were quite pleased with the direction that this is taking now. The next one is the draft criteria and process for a selection of a multi-stakeholder ethos award pilot program. And this stems from a number of discussions that have taken place in ICANN that very often people who are on the board, people who are chairing, supporting organizations, advisory committees, the people at the, as one would say, the top of the ICANN pyramid are often thanked for all the great work that they're doing. And yet, there are some people who do even sometimes more work than they do at the bottom of the pyramid, as some would say, in the working groups, deep in the working groups. They do the actual heavy lifting that ICANN needs, you know, the drafting of documents and this sort of thing. And until now, there's been very little recognition of these people. So there is a set of qualities that are listed there in what one is looking for in a potential awardee for an ethos award. And at the moment, as in any public statement, a public comment period, there is a request from the community for us to list if they have not listed a quality that we think that they should be looking at, or some kind of metric that staff should be looking at for this award, then this is our time for us to alert them to this. Thirdly, there is a review of the Trusted Community Representation in the Root Zone DNSSEC key signing ceremonies. Now, this is something actually, it says on the agenda at the moment that the Technical Issues Working Group asked if a statement was necessary. Actually, Salaneta Tamanikawa-Mauro has come up with a statement, has picked up the pen just a few hours ago, and I guess the advantage came to the Asia-Pacific region because they woke up before we did. She volunteered to pick up the pen on this and has come up with a statement that touches on this. The subject is essentially the fact that the DNS, the Dynamic Naming System, which is this set of servers that translates between IP addresses and domain names, this is built like a pyramid with a what they call a root server at the top, which is where the main, the center of the Internet domain name system is. And in order for it to, for all of the updates to be secured, a system of complex digital keys, digital encrypted keys is now used all the way up to the top. And of course, one key is there to vouch for another key. And at the top, you need people to be able to hold on to these keys. Effectively, there are suites of digital numbers that are kept on a USB key that one would have. And so in order for this legitimacy to be there, they have chosen some community representatives to hold these, and they often hold these in a safe and then have a card that puts it into a safe. Anyway, it's quite a complex system, but quite intriguing and interesting. And they meet several times a year to update those keys. Because as you might or might not know, if a digital key remains the same for too long, someone eventually will be able to crack it. So they have to update them. And they are looking here at a new way, maybe possible new ways or improvements into selection of these people who will hold the keys. So long explanation, but I thought it would be something interesting for you, because it's something that's a bit practical as opposed to something that sometimes is just very legal in nature. This one has a real operational use to it, which very few people know about. Anyway, I invite you all to read the ALAC statement and comment on it. There are some questions which Sala has asked in there, which are quite important. And then one thing which has changed in the last hour, and that was during the ALAC call that took place, that finished just an hour ago. It was a three-hour call, lots of discussions. One of these statements, which we had marked as being no statement, and which we had said was not going to yield any kind of a statement from us, that's the proposal for a specification 13 to the ICANN Registry Agreement to contractually reflect certain limited aspects of Dodd-Brand new GTLD. There was some thinking that the ALAC did not need to comment on this, and Alan Greenberg, who is our GNSO liaison and also an ALAC member, reminded us actually that the ALAC would wish to make a short statement, and his proposal is on the wiki page in the commentaries, comments at the bottom of the page. And that statement is very simple. The ALAC has no input on the details of Specification 13, but wishes to go on record as objecting to the creation of a new category of GTLD at this point, when earlier decisions were made to not have categories of TLD supporting community, geographic, and other similar classes of GTLD. Effectively, what it stems from is the ALAC has always wanted to have categorization of generic top-level domains, thus being able to promote community generic top-level domains. And the answer has always been no from the board. And suddenly now, when it comes down to brands, the board is considering suddenly making categories. And this certainly has some implications because it shows that some people, have more of a voice than others. Some communities have more of a voice than others, and that's obviously not something that we would like to support. So that's really this comment, and I think we will keep it as a very short comment period. The reply closing date is on the 31st of January, so I guess I will we'll probably submit it before it gets voted on. But that's where it is. In fact, no, we have voted it on, haven't we? I think I've lost my mind on this one. I see Heidi is on the call. Heidi, we have voted for this, haven't we? Maybe Heidi is not on the call.
I'm sorry, Olivia. Could you repeat the question?
The Specification 13, well, actually, any staff who was on the call earlier, and I'm sorry, my mind has gone blank, but the Specification 13 to the ICANN Registry Agreement to contractually reflect certain limited aspects of Dodd-Brand new GTLD, I think the ALAC has voted on that.
Correct. I updated the statement. I updated the policy section on the Urello agenda, so it reflects the vote.
Fantastic. Okay, sorry, then it's my fault. I should have reloaded that section. Well, so that's it, basically. So there's really only three that are there, and the fourth one has been dealt with in a very expedited manner. And with this, I open the floor for questions.
Yes, thanks a lot. Olivier, I've seen in between, but it has disappeared now, that Oksana raised her hand. I don't know whether this is still valid. I'm sorry, she is writing. Anybody else who wants to ask questions to the points Olivier elaborated regarding current ALEC consultations? There are some remarks in the chat room from Christopher Wilkinson. Shall we have a briefing about ICC arbitrary's position on health? Can I forward this to you, Olivier?
Yes, absolutely, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. Any questions that comes afterwards, please follow them over to me I'll follow up with it.
Okay.
So do you wish me to address those questions
yes.
Now, or just really?
I leave it up to you, Olivier, when you like or prefer to address this question.
So, Wolf, it's Olivier speaking. The question you're relaying, if I get this correctly, is the one from Christopher Wilkinson regarding
right.
The ICC arbitrator's position on .health.
Yes.
Okay, I can briefly say that. That's a very good point indeed, Christopher. So What has happened is that the ALAC has filed three objections to the string .health, which has been applied for by four different organizations. One of those organizations, one of the four organizations, actually satisfied the at-large advisory committee and the working group that was working on these matters that their public interest commitment was good enough for it to for the application to be pretty much in the public interest. But the other three did not. So the ALAC filed a limited, it was a limited objection. Basically, it was a community objection saying that the applicants were basically not going to serve communities and that was going to be against the public interest in some way. And basically what happened is the objection is then looked at by the International Chamber of Commerce that then selected an adjudicator based in the U.S. to look at those three objections, consolidated them somehow together. Then one of the applicants decided to drop off because the costs that were asked, we were looking here at a deposit to be paid by each side of over, I think it was about $40,000. So they dropped off and decided to not pursue forward. But two of the applicants continued, and only a week ago the adjudicator ruled against the at-large objection. So the objection was rejected in both cases. One of the reasons for it to be rejected was that the at-large advisory committee did not represent a defined community as described in the applicant guidebook, because most, if not all of the background and all of the reasons for the adjudicator to rule against the ALAC was basically taken from the applicant guidebook itself. There are extensions to this in that some are saying in the ALAC that in some way it was impossible due to the restrictions in the guidebook for the ALAC to the ALAC objection to be sustained. Others are saying that perhaps the ALAC did not have the standing to make an objection itself on these points. One thing is sure. There were some calls from some people to ask for a reconsideration request from the board, but based on previous experiences and based on the track record that we have seen from other people trying to submit reconsideration requests, in general these are refused, and the ones that are accepted actually fail to have the reconsideration happen. Two reasons there. One, the board will only reconsider its own decisions. This is an external process, and the way it was designed was especially to have an external examiner deal with those objections so that ICANN could not be accused to be judge and party at the same time. The other thing is that the board would only look at a reconsideration if it had not followed procedures. So if there had been some kind of procedural problem of some sort in reaching its conclusion, or if there was new information that they were not aware of at the time when they were making that decision. But as you know, the current status doesn't satisfy any of these two conclusions. So in effect, any reconsideration request has a very, very slim chance of going through and of winning. What the ALAC has somehow agreed to do is to wait for the time being and then take a very active part in the aftermath of the new GPLD process, the time when we are going to see how the first round went, and see if the first round went well. And at that point, I think this community will need to voice all of its concerns, because this whole objections process might be one of the problems, but there are several other problems which the ALAC has, and the at-large community in general, has pointed out with regards to the applicant guidebook, with regards to some of the implementation of it. If I recall, if I can remind you, the joint applicant support, for example, the lack of publicity around the world about the ability for developing countries and applicants that require some help to be helped. The whole imbalance that you see today in the applications coming from developed and applications coming from the developing countries, a lot of things, and I really believe that there will be a big, if you want, a big analysis of this, of all of this, before round two of this process is launched. And we have been told that there will be a round two in the future, except, of course, if things go really wrong. But for the time being, with the point of view that there would be a round two, the ALAC would be taking a very active interest in being able to point out the inadequacies of the current round. And that's pretty much the summary, and I'm sorry to have taken so much time, but I thought it might be interesting for you to get the full picture of it all. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Olivier. I think this was rather interesting and of concern, I think, also for our community. There has been an extensive exchange on the ALAC working list on the issue, and there were some highly interesting comments on this ICC arbitrary position, but somehow questions the legitimacy of ALEC as a stakeholder in the ICANN system, according to my understanding and reading. And therefore, I think it will be interesting and important that ALEC is following up on this. And I've seen you raise your hand again, Olivier. You have the floor.
Thank you very much, Wolf. I just wanted to close this chapter. It's Olivier speaking. Just wanted to close this chapter by adding that the working group that has dealt with the objections and with building the objection has done an incredible, not only amount of work, but also an incredible quality of work. And I must say, reading through the objections that were filed, it really is a testimony to the amount of talent that we have within our ranks. These are volunteers who have spent some time working with other volunteers that they might have not met in person, and that they were not used to work with in such a legal field. And they've done a very, very incredible job in being able to file those, not only filing the objections, but designing a process by which they could filter out any objections that might not be something that the ALAC would want to file, and a very fair way of filtering this. And I really hope that there will also be an analysis of this, because it's a testimony to the bottom-up multi-stakeholder model that we have in our community. And in that, on that basis, it really showed us that it works. I have a firm belief that when at-large was given the possibility of filing objections, there were a lot of eyes set on the at-large community to think, well, how in the world are they going to do this? What process are they going to build for themselves? And they have done very well. So I just wanted to put it on the record to thank the people that have been involved. They're all listed on the objections page. And thank also the people that were involved in the follow-up afterwards. It's not the end. There will be more objections in the future, in future rounds. But for the time being, that work is complete. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Olivier. Any further questions, any further comments? I see no hand raised, or I hear no voice. Olivier, you are through with this part, with your briefing items on part three?
Yes, thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot for this brief update. and a briefing on current ELEC consultations and all your elaborations to the points. If last chance there are no further questions or comments, let me continue with our next agenda item. What is point 4, international action on 11th of February, the day we fight back against mass surveillance and potential Uralo support? As some of you at least may recall, I forwarded about a week ago an information on this, which was launched by a number of groups from Europe. There is ETRI involved. There is an electronic frontier foundation, international, and some European members. And I have seen that some of your of the German Uralo members have supported this initiative already, which is more or less based on the revelations from last year from Edward Snowden and the follow-ups on the more recent revelations on mass surveillance and abuses regarding internet users. And I thought this is an interesting initiative. I wanted to bring to your attention. I have seen no immediate responses or reactions on this forward from my side, but I announced already that I will put this on the agenda of our today's monthly call, and I would like to have some opinions from your side on it, or whether I can understand the non-reaction as sort of approval. I see here in the Adobe Connect that Jordi indicated his approval to this suggestion already. I would like to open the floor for this. I see Sandra's hand raised. Sandra, you have the floor, please.
Thank you, Rob. Can you hear me?
Oh, you are very far. Can you get closer to the micro or to the
Actually,
telephone?
Actually, I have a brand new headset.
You are hardly audible, Sandra.
I'm eating my mic.
Oh, you are eating. So sorry to interrupt you.
No, I'm eating the microphone now.
Ah, you are eating the microphone. This is not most probably not very delicious, I can guess. Okay, try slowly. Go ahead. Perhaps we can catch what you. Hello.
Yes, a quick question. One question I would like to know. I've read that email which was distributed by Katika Rodriguez calling for participation on the Fight Back Day, but it didn't say anything about what actions are going to be taken and how this is going to be organized. And I wonder if anyone in the group has some background information on this. Thank you.
Okay, as far as I understood you, Sandra, you were asking what type of concrete action they propose. And that was a question I have seen on other lists, because this was also an issue on the ISOC Swiss chapter list. What type of concrete? I think they leave it, as far as I understood it, they leave it up to their to the groups in the country, on the local, on the national, on the regional level, to either launch own initiatives or just to support the call on the international level. This somehow reminds me a bit about the actions last year we have seen against ACTA, what was also a small initiative at the beginning, what became very strong by incredible multiplications. And finally, they were approaching members of European Parliament, etc., for respective sessions in the European Parliament to convince them to say no, to vote no against ACTA. And as we have seen at the end, there was a strong majority in the European Parliament based on a very strong public opposition and refusal of ACTA. And finally, ACTA was put at ACTA at the end. And I think this action day fight back against mass surveillance refers to the success of the anti-ACTA campaign at the time. As we all know, we as Uralu, we do not have much capacities to actively launch an own initiative or own actions from our side, but it would indicate to our members who do have capacities, like Digital Courage, who was one of the creators behind this campaign. And I think and I see it's a sort of symbolic support for those members who are already involved. And I would like to tell them via Uralo, you are doing a good work and you are doing something very important. You are doing something very useful. And be sure that Uralo and its members are supporting you. This is more or less I would see what we can do at this stage. I see Jordi's hand raised. Jordi, you have the floor.
Hello, this is Jordi for the record. Thank you, Walt. I agree on the different viewpoints being expressed here. I mean, there are many different ways in which we can act and work. Maybe some people find more easy or more easy for them to do kind of political action, so getting to the politicians or political parties or whatever, maybe that's one possibility. There are many others, like participating in different kinds of worldwide events, like the Privacy International or the one on the February 11th or whatever. There is something that maybe we can also do at ICANN itself, because as we are going to be there, it may be interesting. In ISOCAD, we organized maybe three or four already gathering. It's called party because it wants to be really amiable and to remove all the, you know, all the technical things, all the fear that all the technical things related to cryptography may be associated with. So the basic idea is just to spend an afternoon, 2-3 hours, share some knowledge, so hands-on experience on how do you configure PGP or whatever on your Thunderbird, for instance. How do you properly configure your browser, Firefox or others, regarding so with plugins and configurations and defaults and all these kind of things. So it's a very basic thing. You can make it as complex as you want, but just for a start, you start with the very basic things. Explain people with their own computers how to properly configure a browser, how to properly configure the mail agent, that. And then if you have time, you may talk a little bit about, I don't know, encrypted chats or maybe how to encrypt a directory or how to encrypt a directory that you're going to put in Dropbox or things like that. So maybe we could be doing something similar in ICANN or not, or just in your other meetings or whatever, or just exchange these kind of experiences. It's just an idea.
Thanks a lot, Jordi, for this very good example what individuals or organizations or ALSs can do if they have the capacity. I can just refer to another good example in Switzerland, where one of Communica's member organizations put up a similar initiative with the Swiss Pirate Party. There are some regional elections going on the 9th of February, and the Digital Almend, together with others, with the Pirate Party, they are candidates who stand for this regional elections. What is their point on mass surveillance? They are asking them critical questions. They want responses before the 9th of February, and they want to publicly hear their point of view and potential initiatives that could be taken, etc., against mass surveillance. And this is for me just one good example how there are on different levels possibilities and opportunities to join such an International Action Day, etc. And I would see a certain importance that Juralo is encouraging all those members who are active in this direction on the ground, even if not all of us, all of our member organizations, do have time or capacities to organize something by themselves. Any further questions and comments on this issue? Otherwise, let me suggest, as we have often done it in the past, when a proposal, an idea came up and was put forward for discussion, and as we often have done it, if there was no objection, no substantial objection raised against such a proposal, then we mostly have considered it as approval, a silent form of approval by the majority of the other members, and I would like to handle this issue here under point four in a similar way. I would take this as approval, and we could forward that Juralo is formally and symbolically supporting any initiatives that are going on during the International Action Day on 11th of February. Can we agree on this? I've seen here in the Adobe Connect under action items that staff has already taken note. Juralo approved the support to the International Action Day on 11th February, etc. And I will contact the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and I will also let know our members from Digital Courage, who were strongly behind the driving forces for this action day, that Juralo is in support of their initiatives. Any further questions to this? If not, let me continue with the next agenda item, which is a follow-up on crop and regional submissions expected by Juralo. As some of you may recall, we discussed this issue already in December. We gave a short briefing and introduction what crop is. There was also a question by Christopher in the chat room and a short response from Oksana. And it's a pending issue. Just to summarize, there are every region has 5 travel slots for this pilot program if there are any events in the region, we can suggest up to 5 members to get travel support for to attend such events. And as we discussed at our last monthly calls, in the period where crop is due to, there are not many major regional events. Last time we mentioned also Eichenstudienkreis, but Eichenstudienkreis in Europe will be later. It will not be within the call period, but there is definitely the next Eurodic in June 2014 in Berlin. What is a regional highly important event? In the last time we had our General Assembly in line with the Eurodic in Lisbon, as you may remember, most of you have been invited to attend the Euralo face-to-face General Assembly and to attend the Lisbon Eurodic the same time. In Berlin, Euralo will not have its General Assembly. That will be the next General Assembly will be in line with Atlas II 2 weeks later in London. But it would be good to have at least some of our members given a chance to attend the Berlin Eurodic. And my idea was especially to invite Euralo members from Eastern European countries to attend Eurodic. As I have not seen any names dropped so far on the list, I have made my own list, and I would like to suggest the following people and Euralo members to be suggested for any crop support. These are, as we discussed last time, 2 members from Armenia, what is Sirenos and Narin. We have last time already discussed about possible objections against this, because Armenia, according to the ICANN regional model, is not considered under Europe but under Asia Pacific. But as Sirenos and Narin are long-standing members and they have proved a long fidelity to Euralo, as you may have seen, they are always present at our monthly calls, and I consider them as Euralo members, and I think we should try to have this accepted, and we should at least ask support for them. We cannot guarantee if this will be approved, but at least I think it's worth a trial. The other names I have on my list are from Eastern European, Oksana and Vladimir, both members from Ukraine. Then we have Plamena from Unibit, Bulgaria. Then we have Valentina from Apti, Romania. And we have Veronica Cretu from Moldavia. These are the names I have listed. These are more names than we have travel slots, so I would try it from the hierarchy I started with, including Sirenos and Narin, and if the 2 won't be approved by the crop review team, we still have 5 candidates on our slot, etc. And so this is my suggestion to get this done. Are there any comments or questions from your side? Yes, I see Olivier's hand raised. Olivier, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, both. It's Olivier Cavanaugh for the transcript. I was just going to say, I don't know whether Armenia will be allowed by the CROP program as travel in Europe. As you know, the end go, no-go decision is that of ICANN itself. But what I would suggest, though, is that if you are going to proceed forward with some requests, make those requests as early as possible so that if there are any rejections of the request, then you still have time to be able to submit another request for other people. I remind you that the time it takes for the process to be able to give you a go or no go, a red or a green light, is about 8 weeks, and 8 weeks is over a month, and we only have until end of June. This is for events all the way up to end of June. So time passes very quickly, and I would therefore urge this community to file those CROP requests as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for this comment, Olivier. I totally agree with you, and I'm aware about this. I think we should forward our proposals, our suggestions, until the next monthly call in February, so we will be right in time. The only thing what I'm now asking for your approval, I'm aware about this formal restrictions that Armenia is not included in our region according to the ICANN regional model. We are aware about this. We have raised these issues repeatedly, also in the last consultation rounds on ICANN's geographic model, where we have always argued that there are exceptional cases like Armenia who do not fit with ICANN logic and ICANN perception. I think we should make a trial to underline our point of view. Sometimes in politics you have to be exemplaric, and also sort of stubborn to pinpoint to certain issues. Therefore, let me suggest we try it at least. We make this a suggestion. If it won't be approved by the CROP review team, we still have two more members on our list to be presented for approval, which are definitely in our region. I've seen you have raised your hand again, Olivier. You have the floor.
Thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier Catanabro speaking. So I understand your point of view and your suggestion here. I'd just like to add, I think it's highly unlikely that such a request would be granted this year as part of the pilot program. I remind you, this is a pilot program. However, if you want to make a point about it, a formal point about this, it would certainly be a strategy that would definitely allow for at large and for the program to be improved next year, that would allow for such cases on a one-on-one individual basis, because you're absolutely correct that it's an aberration that something like that is like that. But just to repeat, it would be unlikely that this would be accommodated this year. Next year, if you put this as a precedent, that will greatly strengthen the case for being able to allow something like this. Thank you.
Okay, Olivier, I see your point, and I think enough realistic to see the troubles and the arguments we are running into, etc. But I would, as I said before, go for a trial at least. And if it's not approved, we have tried it, etc., and we have then 5 more members on our list we can submit and which are definitely inside the regional model, etc. So it's let's say, tactically double submission, but I think it's going into the right direction. And I see that Oksana has raised her hand. And Oksana, you have the floor, please.
Thank you, Wolf. Do you hear me?
Yes, we hear you clearly. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your proposition. Actually, I would like to apply for the EuroDIC participation, but just now I would like to stress on the point that not only Armenia, but Ukraine and Russia also are not part of the ICANN strategy for Europe. And that is why we are highly appreciate any discussion of this situation. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Oksana, for this comment. But as you are aware, I didn't look whether Ukraine is part in the context of the ICANN strategy, etc. But Ukraine is definitely part of the regional European, of the regional ICANN model, and that's the reason why both ALS from Ukraine have been approved for Europe and not Asia Pacific. Therefore, as we know, Moldavia and Ukraine, etc., are considered as part of Europe, Armenia not. And I think, as I said before, I've listed the names. I will forward it to a large staff to be added among the action items. The next step, I think, which is important, is the question who is preparing the submissions and until what deadline. I think we have to do this soon after this monthly call in early February to have it submitted until our next monthly call, and then we have to wait and see what the crop review team is saying on our submissions, how they will judge it. Most probably they will refuse the first two names with formal arguments, but then we still have 5 members on the list. As I said before, I repeat the 5 names again. Besides our Armenian members, we would ask for Oksana and Vladimir from Ukraine. We would ask for Plamena from Unibit, Bulgaria. We would ask for Valentina from Apti, Romania, and for Veronica Cretu from Moldavia. For the moment and for this call, as I see no other names and suggestions, I just would like to have your approval now on the names I suggested, and that we continue with the formal submission procedure as soon as possible. Anybody wants to help with preparing the submission forms? I would like to see at least 2 more people who are assisting into this direction. I take it for granted that it's the secretariat. It will be Julia assisting in this. And as Oksana is member of the crop review team, I would also would like to have Oksana on board for preparing this. Okay. okay, I've seen some approval on this suggestion, and first of procedure, I see Oksana's hand raised. Oksana, you have the floor.
Thank you, Wolf. It's Oksana Prikhotko. I would like to stress out that I really am a member of crop review team, and I asked the question if it would be the conflict of interest if I am, as a member of this review team, will apply for some trip. There is no conflict of interest. Thank you.
That's a good point, a good question, Oksana, but in the given case, I must admit, I do not see a real conflict of interest in this. The only thing I could suggest in the situation, when this is brought up in the review team on your person, you can abstain in your vote. So you say, okay, in this case, I'm personally concerned, therefore I would not vote for myself, and you just abstain in your personal case from such a vote. What is a usual procedure in comparable situations? If no more questions are raised, we will bring this up at our next monthly call again to see the follow-ups. As we are running short of time, I have to speed up a little bit now with our last agenda items. What is point six? What is Atlas II event planning and working groups? This is an ongoing procedure. There are a lot of calls almost every week, etc., to prepare the program and various events for Atlas II in June in London. And I give Olivier the floor for a short update of 3 minutes. Thanks, Olivier.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier Clapin-Leblanc speaking, and I'll try and be very short in summarizing. So there's been, as you said, a lot of work going on. The overall list of events, which includes the agenda, is very close to being complete. The working group that deals with the agenda has been doing a lot of work on that, and led by Tijani Benjamin. There's also been some work done on the sponsorship side of things, so as to be able to bring in some sponsors to fund a lunch, fund a dinner, fund the showcase, which is going to be not a Uralo showcase, but a worldwide showcase of At Large, which might be called something else than a showcase, but for the time being, we're just calling it a showcase. And apart from this, there has also been a focusing onto the subject areas that will be discussed by the at-large structures. They're focusing on the five or six subject areas that at-large structures will be working on, and topics that will be worked on. All of this is taking place very openly, and it really is the community building the At-Large Summit for the community. I would like to ask staff to please put the link of the Atlas II onto the wiki. Actually, you've got it on your agenda. And I'm just basically just to say that this whole process is open for anybody who so far has not taken any part in it to be able to take part. You can see there are a whole lot of people that are involved in the overall organizing committee, the member organizing committee, but then underneath that, you've got a link to Atlas II working groups, and if you want to integrate one of the working groups, they each one have their own mailing list, then please email staff, and they will add you into the working group mailing list and take it from there. But things are progressing, and I think that we're in time at the moment for an excellent and fantastic At Large Summit. Thank you both. Back to you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Olivier, for this update. And Heidi has posted the link to the respective workspaces of Atlas II. As Olivier said, I just would like to underline, it's never too late to join one of the working groups. As far as I've seen so far, we are quite well represented in several of these working groups with Roberto, with Sandra, with me, with Mathieu Camus from ISOC France, with Jordi. But there are still some working groups where we are not strongly included. Therefore, just let me repeat. I forgot Julia, who is also a part in two of these groups. And so we are still looking for members to be well represented, possibly in most of the sub-working groups preparing Atlas II in summer. If there is no question on this or comment anymore, let me continue with the next agenda item. What is Juridic Open Planning Meeting in Berlin? Just a brief update. Sandra, you have the floor. If your line is still as bad as it was before, make another trial, please.
Yes, I changed the technique. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, you are still very distant with your voice.
Oh,
again?
The technique is always an issue.
Yes, okay, now it's better.
Okay. This is a situation right now that we are having two public planning meetings to agree on the Juridic program in June. And the first planning meeting will start on Friday this week, which is the 31st of January, and it will be held in Berlin. I'm just copy-pasting the planning meeting page link to the Adobe chat. Even if you are not able to participate in person, you will have the possibility to participate remotely. The remote participation details will be visible on the page where I just in the Adobe chat room. We received more than 90 proposals, which is great thing, we haven't had that much, and all proposals are of a very high quality. And at the moment it is also still possible to vote online, to vote on each proposal what we will propose to vote to be in the agenda for Juridic 2014. And I really encourage you to use this opportunity, especially encourage Europeans to use this opportunity to do this online voting. And I just realized the link above was actually to the online voting, but you will land on our Juridic page anyway, and I guess you will find your way to both to the meeting page and to the online vote. And at the moment we have the online voting we are doing this for the first time as well. We have now like 1,000 votes already, which is a great thing, and it will be an additional tool, not the only tool, but an additional tool to agree on the Juridic agenda in June.
Okay, thanks a lot, Sandra. It was really, really difficult to follow you with all your best attempts, I know. I made just a short summary in the chat, just repeating that we received 95 proposals during the call period, what is the utmost we got so far over the years. They were all compiled and listed to be reviewed. There was a new voting tool on the Eurodic website giving the communities opportunity to express their preference on the proposals submitted. What is a complementary consultation tool, and the results of the online voting will be presented at the end of the week until Friday. The voting is until Thursday. The voting is open to be presented on Friday, and on Friday we will meet one day in Berlin to discuss the proposals listed and to discuss and decide about topical priorities and first outlines for the Berlin agenda. This is more or less what is going on at the moment on the Eurodic level, which is quite busy. There are many people who have been registered for the open planning meeting in Berlin, what will be a big prep meeting, etc. So the process is on a very good and very promising way, and we will keep you updated during the next monthly calls on the further Eurodic planning procedure. If there are no immediate questions regarding this agenda point, let me suggest to come to our last one, what is a standing item on the monthly call agenda, the 2014 challenges for the region. As a next big challenge, what is mentioned here, but we do not have to go into details at the moment, what will be the board candidate for seat 15, selection and voting consultation, what will come up in the next week and will demand more ground for discussions. The next thing is Eurodic in Berlin, what we have just considered now and updated you now. And the last one I have on my list among the 2014 challenges is Euralo's involvement in Atlas II in London and preparation of the Euralo General Assembly. But there is still time for this, and we can go into details for Atlas II and Euralo GA in our next monthly meetings and calls. Any further questions on agenda item 8? Any comments? Anything you want to add for the moment? Otherwise, you can always comment or make up your mind via the list. Yes, I see one more hand raised. Oksana, you have the floor.
Thank you, Wolf. Do you hear me?
Yes, we hear you clearly.
Oksana, Prikhodko for the record. Olivier, can I talk about ALAC meeting before with the list of candidates for ICANN board? Olivier?
Yes, absolutely, Oksana. Thank you for bringing this up.
Because we have now the list of final list of candidates, and for example, Jean-Jacques Sabrino is on this list. As far as I know, he is the member of ALAC. So it was decided during... Olivier, maybe you can describe this situation better.
This is the
situation of voting.
Yes, thank you very much, Oksana. It's Olivier Crapanablanc for the transcript record. very good point. Yes, some of the candidates that are on the list at the moment are on the ALAC. As far as I understand, I don't think that there is any blocking of them from being able to take part in the vote. It's more a case of being able to, well, there's a complexity here, basically, and I'm not quite sure I know exactly whether you are precluded from voting if you are from being a member of the electorate if you're one of the candidates or not, and that will become clear in the next couple of days. The board member selection process committee is meeting tomorrow and will be able to shed some light over this. What is important is that during the ALAC call today, there has been a resolution that was passed to be able to swap members of the electorate that might be ineligible to vote due to whatever position that they might be in, whether they are missing, for example, if somebody has passed away, if somebody is ill and is unavailable, this sort of thing. So a resolution was passed to make an amendment, an addition to the rules of procedure. In addition to this, I would like to provide you with the list of the candidates which the board candidate evaluation committee has come up with, and I need to find it very quickly, and of course just when I need to find it I can't. So Jean-Jacques Sebrenay is one of them. In fact, there are five people altogether in the overall list. And where is it now? Here we go. I've got it. So in alphabetical order of last name, there is Renalia Abdul Rahim, Sébastien Bacholet, Alan Greenberg, Evan Leibovich, and Jean-Jacques Sebrenay. The next stage now is for the RALOs to be looking at this list of candidates and to discuss within each RALO if they wish to add any more people to this short list of starting candidates. So at the moment there are five of them, and does the RALO think that there are any candidates that are missing from this short list? The thing, though, is that if it wants to add more candidates to this shortlist, the only people that it may add are people who have already submitted their, what they call the statement of interest, their application to apply to become the at-large selected board member. So that list of all of those candidates is going to be published shortly. Theoretically, today is the day when most of those lists are going to be put up, and staff is building the pages as we speak. And when they do this, then the RALOs will be able to look at that list and decide whether they want to add someone. If they decide, if Uralo decides that they would like to add an additional candidate or more from the list which will be published, then it will need to seek support from at least two other RALOs to be able to bring this candidate forward over to the shortlist of candidates that will be voted on. I hope this is clarified what the next steps are, but thank you for bringing this up, Oksana.
Okay, thanks a lot for this further explanations and updates, Olivier. I'm sure there will be some more mailings on this, and we will follow up this discussion at the next opportunity, and I think I'm almost certain it will be a prominent part of the discussion at our next monthly call. If there are no immediate urgent questions raised, comments to be made. Yes, Olivier, I see your hand.
Yes, thank you, Wolf. Sorry to be coming back to you on this, but I'm not sure that there will be very much time during the next monthly call, as we will. The timeline is very short for all these things. It's a very strict timeline. So I would suggest that the follow-up will be by email on the Uralo mailing list.
Okay, what is another important option? And I'm sure we will come back on this, because last time the regional consultation was an important part of the procedure, and we will keep you updated, and then once we have this short list, we will ask for additional suggestions from the region, as Olivier outlined before, and if not, we will immediately start with a consultation on the suggested names. Any further comments? Anything under any other business? We are behind the time already. If there is nothing urgent anymore, let me thank all of you for taking the time and having joined our January, our first monthly call of the year. Thanks for your active participation, and as you have seen on under the action items, there are some points we have to follow up, and we will keep you informed, and I wish you an excellent evening. Thanks a lot for your participation, and goodbye.
Thank you very much, Wolf. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you both.